Father, we do thank you for gifts of and people you call. And you call all of us and you gift all of us. Father, may we not be distracted, and may we be found faithful ministering in your kingdom, serving in your kingdom, serving our neighbors, loving our neighbors. Father, may we love God and love people. May we figure out a little bit more each day how to do that. And Father, we pray for the direction of the church, especially concerning a youth pastor and who that might be and what he or she might look like and be gifted at. And Father, we also pray that the finances and the budget would balance out, that we could continue to move forward in faith, but also in being good stewards. God, we thank you for those who you've called to serve in leadership of our church. May we truly serve and be servant leaders. God, I pray now that you'll be with the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts as we continue to gather together and study your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first moved to Fairfield, Iowa for my first senior pastor job, the church wasn't real big. And so I usually had a day off, and one of the people in the church discovered that I may not have been that good a preacher, but I was pretty good at hauling furniture. He was an auctioneer, and so he would recruit me to haul stuff on times he had auctions. And he'd give me a little money, and I'd get to look at the stuff ahead of time. And so pretty soon we came to an agreement where I would sort the books, because I'm a book person. And if you've seen my office and the youth pastor's office, and that is not the reason we haven't hired a youth pastor, it's just because his office is full of my books. But I would always sort the books. And of course, I'd put together a box of religious books and almost always get them for a dollar, because nobody but me, apparently, was interested in religious books. And in almost every one of those boxes of books, it seemed like would be a copy, and I'd throw it in there, and I usually would give it away. I think up maybe the first slide on my PowerPoint. You guys recognize that book, In His Steps by Shelton? One of the bestsellers, as far as Christians go. Last I knew, 30 million copies. Probably at one time I owned a million or so of them. But in his 30 million copies is a lot, and I thought, that's really impressive. And then I looked up online, and four or five of the books in the Harry Potter series cleared 55 million copies, so we can do better. So if you haven't bought a copy lately and you don't want one of my old used ones, let me know. But In His Steps was written in the late 1800s, I believe 1896. And about the time it was 100 years old, things started showing up in Christian circles. Do you remember them? The wristbands? Remember what they had on them? Come on, play along. It hasn't been... What was it? What would Jesus do? We were all asking ourselves that question. I got one of the wristbands. In fact, I think I preached a series on what would Jesus do. And I've decided that was kind of like Anthony's spiritual gift of mercy. That was a reactive gift. Today, 121 years later, I've come up with a new plan. How about we just look at what he did? What did Jesus do? How did Jesus act? So for the next me in my series, it's not a couple, but I think it's less than several. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark and look at what Jesus did. He was a man of action, right? He let his words speak. His talk matched his walk, and his talk went along with his walk. Sometimes in Christian circles, we sit around and we like to study his words. They're in red print in some of our Bibles. And we look at Jesus' words, and that's important, and we study his words. But in his words, we're tied to his actions. Brocky, for those of you who don't know, and she has a book autographed by him, went to school with a young man who went on to play college football and then in the NFL by the name of Barry Sanders. I really liked Barry Sanders, even though he never got to play for the Broncos. But Barry Sanders was a great football player. And one of the things I liked best about Barry Sanders was he never acted surprised when he scored a touchdown. He just would, you remember this? He never celebrated. He never spiked the ball. He never had to do a dance. And I'm sure he was a great dancer. He could do everything else well. But he would just, he'd score a touchdown. He'd stop running. He'd walk over to the official. He'd hand him the ball. And then he'd slowly jog back to the bench. And maybe there, he'd hug his teammates and take their congratulations. But it's when he was one of those guys where he let his game do the talking. You know, so much of modern athletics is, you know, people got to beat their chest and they got to point at the crowd and they got to slash a throat or they got to, you know, they got to mock. Maybe I'm just an old geezer having one of those get off my lawn moments, but I guess I would like us to see that there are actions of Jesus. Yes, his words change our lives, but if we're to be his imitators, like Paul said, be imitators of Jesus. Well, I don't think it just meant that we get up in the morning, we go sit on a hillside, and we speak words. Though he did that and changed people's lives. But he also fed people and healed people and walked with people and touched people. So for the next few weeks, I'd like us to pay special attention, and we're just going to kind of drift through the book of Mark to where we see Jesus act. Right, where we see Jesus act. I think I have one more slide. Oh yeah, action. I've always wanted to try to put up dolls and action figures. So, and I have. It's been a goal of mine, so now I've accomplished it. But on this side over here are American dolls. Do any of you own any of those? Oh, I didn't see that coming, Evan. So anyways, I'm just kidding. I'm so glad Evan's back. Evan's been through 8 days of training to become a state highway patrolman, and he's made it 8 days. He's got a few more weeks to go, but he's made it so far. So be praying for him. This is a hard thing, and some of you have kids off at military, at basic training. We need to be praying for those folks. I wanted to mention him too, so you could be praying for him. But on this side, you have the American dolls, and my older daughter has two of them because she's sneaky. I don't remember how she got the first one, but sometimes she had it at church, and there was this farmer who was a little bit older than me who had boys, and she's playing with it very gently because it was an American Girl doll, and it has a name and all sorts of stuff that I don't care about. But so, he happens to notice, he goes, "What is this?" She goes, "Oh, it's American Girl doll. This is her name." And he goes, "Oh, I've never seen a doll." Like, "Well, they're really special." And he goes, "Oh, I bet you really like this." "Yeah, I really do, and it's the only one I'll probably ever get, you know." And 3 weeks later, one got mailed to us by this farmer. So she has two. She's been working that system now for about 15 more years. So, but in this one, they've got bags, you know, BFF and Bath and Body Works and Diva. And I think a lot of us, now please don't take offense to this, but a lot of us come to church and we smell good and we look pretty but I think God might be calling, now these guys are maybe in a violent pose, but I think maybe God is asking us to be action figures. And not just play, but actually get involved in the action. There's maybe one more slide. There it is. We are men of action. There's a coffee drink on the line for the first person that can put their hand up and tell me what the rest of that line is. We are men of action. Ben Skinner. You are getting a cup of fancy drink at the coffee shop from me, Ben. We are men of action. Lies do not become us. Some of you are going to need to brush up on your princess bride because it will come up again. We are men of action. Point number one is from Mark chapter 1, verses 41, and then we'll unpack the rest of the story as we go through this point. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Jesus was a man of action. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." In the first chapter of Mark, we have Jesus encountering a man with something wrong with his skin. Now, a lot of the New Testament scholars automatically translate that as leprosy. We don't know for sure, but he had something on his skin, and something on your skin was a bad deal. Okay, if you read through the Old Testament, Leviticus and other places, there were protocols, and if you did it, accidentally touch it, what you had to go through, it was bad. This had cost this man his family, it had cost this man his friends, it probably cost him his career. He was probably a beggar. And then he heard about this new teacher, this new rabbi who was out there who was healing people. So hope against hope, he took the chance, he got out there again, with this leprosy-like condition, whatever it is, he's in bad shape, and there's this guy with the power to heal, and he calls to him, before we pick up in 41, Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, Jesus was a good little Jewish boy growing up. He went to temple. He'd listened to the rabbis. He knew the Torah. He knew the words. And a rabbi would not touch a man with leprosy or a skin condition. A good rabbi knew there was prohibition against touching them, and if you did accidentally bump into him, there was this inconvenience, there was extra cleanings and washings and a quarantine period. And so he would be careful, especially a rabbi. Teacher, rabbi, heal me. And so Jesus did. He displayed his compassion and some of the newer translations, they take that word that Jesus having compassion on him, it takes it a little bit differently in the Greek, and he becomes almost indignant, like, haven't you heard about me? Of course. It's like he became indignantly in compassion. He was like, of course I want it. It's like if your child came, you know, bloody and messed up, you know, falling on the scene, and they go, Daddy, hold me, you know? Like, will you hold me? Of course I'm going to hold you. Of course I'm going to, but I have a new shirt on. You might get blood. No, come here. I'll hold you. So he holds him. Now, think about this scene for a minute. It was really Jesus' words. If you read through this whole story, and I encourage you to read this in your Bibles this afternoon, maybe. But Jesus didn't have to touch him. In other places in the New Testament, in fact, he was not bound. He was God. It's as much God as if he wasn't man at all. He was just man as much. He was as much man as if he wasn't God at all. He was that great God-man. He was not bound by time or space. He could have said, like the centurion's daughter, or the centurion's servant, it's going to be okay. Or he could have said, okay, you stay right there. You stand over there. I'll stand over here. Okay? And you'll be well. It's been a few months now. I went to see somebody in the hospital here. And I go in there and I'm talking to him. And this nurse, it's a male nurse, a nurse, I don't know. He comes in and he goes, what are you doing? I go, well, I'm getting ready to pray with him. He goes, did you read the sign? I go, no. He goes, want to back out of there? Puts gown on me, puts gloves on me. I didn't feel very spiritual. I didn't feel very full of faith, you know? Going to there, I think you have the faith to be well. I don't have a lot of faith that I can be stay well. So I'm wearing this outfit. You stand over there. I'll stand over here. But Jesus, being a man of action, lies did not become him. He took a purposeful action. He reached out and touched. What would Jesus do? Well, what did he do? Who crosses paths with you that you don't want to be around? Who lives in this community that maybe you just avoid contact with? Who do we need to touch as we minister for Jesus Christ? Haviland Friends Church, have we ever maybe had a reputation that we're better than? Could it ever been in our rich history that maybe people on the outside have looked at us and said, they think they're better than us? Quite frankly, we are. No, not at all. Some of us kind of think that. But you know, one of the ways we can battle that is we become people of purposeful action. And when we have a chance to run across someone who's the least, the little, the left out, the lost, the lonely, and we have a chance not to walk by, not to speak words of encouragement, not to send a note, not to send a text. Saw you along the road there. Hope that flat tire worked out. But maybe to stop and to reach out and to touch their lives. And sometimes it's a little scary. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it's the exact thing that Jesus would do. He was a man of action. So how did Jesus act? Well, he wasn't afraid to touch people. Second thing, and the other thing we're going to look at this morning quickly, is that Jesus was a person who would walk. That, my friends, is Bear Butte. That is the view basically from my dad's ranch. That is not as easy a climb as it used to be. I have climbed it now with both my wives, this one twice, and Katie. We climbed it the last time probably 6 years ago. We were much younger then. Katie made it up and down quite easily. Krista made it up and down quite easily. It was a lot further than I thought. You know, we can walk. Usually when we walk with a purpose. If you're not walking with a purpose, you're wandering, right? So pay attention. You know, when I'm walking in town, I'm walking to the post office, I'm walking to the coffee shop, I'm walking up to the college to see my wife. Even at night, when I have nowhere else to go, and I look at my little fitness monitor thing, and it was the best thing my wife has ever gotten me, probably, well, besides herself. So that's, I meant that, honey. But so, and I look at it, I go, oh, I need so much. So I'm still walking with a purpose. I got to get those 10,000 steps in. And actually, it's not 10,000, it's 10,600. Because 10,600 of Todd's steps equals 5 miles. And if I get 5 miles, I get another little gold, little green star that spins when I go to bed at night. When I sync it to my phone, and it means so much to me. It doesn't take much. Just put a little carrot out there. Walking. When we walked, though, that day, we walked with a purpose. We walked up the mountain. In certain places, we walked very carefully. I don't know, 30 years ago or so, there was a fire, a sweat lodge or a peace pipe ceremony got away from some of our indigenous folks and burned most of the trees off the mountain. It was not as scary a walk when I was a kid because there was trees everywhere. You thought, if I fall here, I'll only roll a certain distance and then I will hit a tree. Yes, it will hurt, but I'm not going to slide down 2,000 feet of shale. About the fourth watch of the night, Mark chapter 6. About the fourth, and you guys know this story too. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus act? He walked. He went to people. Okay, so if Jesus could walk on water, hear this with me, he probably could throw his voice. He could have stayed on the shore. You're going to be fine. Put your backs into it. Don't be afraid. You guys are embarrassing me, you big chickens. He could have yelled. Now, the fourth watch of the night, you know, it's... Don't miss that. He went out to them. Tomorrow night, we're going to go golfing. I can count on my hand the times I've golfed by myself. I don't like to golf by myself. It's a group thing. And we play, if in case you go, I can't go, I'm a terrible. So far, all we've played, and probably, I don't know if I have anything, we just play best ball. We put a ball down, we all four hit it, and then we walk to the best one, and then we hit it again. But part of the reason I love that format for this kind of thing, for a men's ministry, is there's four of us, and we switch up teams that spend the whole night together because we're all by that ball. Then we hit the ball. Then we pick up the mind ball because it's just there 4 feet in front of us. And we go to the next ball and we hit it again. But we get to talk. We get to hang out. It's part of companionship. And one of the things about even like golf, I have this, like, they even have their, like, real golfers who don't ride in carts and don't play best ball. They have this buddy with them, this life coach, this encourager. And as the tournament's coming to an end and the pressure's there and the sun is setting and the crowds are gathering to see if you're going to fail or if you're going to succeed, there's this guy walking beside them, giving them an advice, speaking words of hope to them, saying, you can do this. This is the club. You've got this. Walking side by side, talking about maybe what's next, trying to forget about what went wrong, celebrating what went right. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is why ladies bake in groups. I think this is why they quilt. Some of them quilt by themselves, but lots of them get together. There's a thing that I don't know. Maybe it happens in other towns, and maybe I've just been too busy to notice, but apparently you can't put a puzzle together by yourself in this town. You know, I think if they really worked hard and talked less, they could put more puzzles together. It's not the point. I don't drink alone. Coffee. Okay, I do drink a little coffee alone, but I don't like to. I like to drink coffee with other people. I like to run with other, well, not anymore. I might again someday. I like to talk when I run, don't I, honey? I found out she didn't. Bike riding. RL, I was trying to talk RL into going fishing with us, or golfing with us, or something. Golfing. He goes, I'm going to go fishing with Mason. I don't know, some of you probably go fishing by yourselves, and that's okay. But something about fishing with a buddy. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. Walking is an action. Specifically, Jesus, in this study of our scripture, I think it had a purpose. And whether that purpose is just to reach a destination, to climb a mountain, to get to the summit, to get rid of some calories, to take in the beauty of a landscape, to chase a ball, to hunt something, to open a door for conversation, walking can accomplish a lot of things. In their story today, Jesus, I think, sent a message to the disciple. It's a stormy night on a big lake, and there's waves, and there's probably lightning, and there's wind, and there's their boat. And then there's the bottom of the lake, and they're thinking about the waves and the violence and the wind and the lightning. And then pretty soon, as the boat's in the middle of the lake, it says in Scripture, and Jesus on the shore, he senses something. And I don't know, I've never stood on the shore of that lake and looked out into the middle, but it says in this text, and if you read this text, that he's on the shore and he saw the disciples straining at the oars. They're tired. It's not they're not trying. They're maybe giving it their all. They're afraid for their lives. And so he walks out to them. And in their fear, in their panic, of course, that's their funny part of the story. They think it's a ghost. They cry out. They're terrified. It's been a long day. It's been a long night. And Jesus did two things. He used his words and he acted. Two things. Sometimes we've ignored his actions. He spoke and he acted. His words, he says, don't be afraid. And then he got in the boat. Christian friends, Haviland Friends Church, it's one thing to use your words. It's one thing to bless people and not curse them. That's great. It's one thing to encourage. You know, it says we gather here on Sunday mornings to encourage one another. It's an entirely different level of action when we get in the boat. And so this morning, I'm asking you, who is Jesus asking you to get in the boat with? Are there young mothers in our community that some of you can get in the boat with? Here in about a month, we're going to get invaded again, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have maybe record numbers, I've heard good things, of students coming to us. Some of them haven't been walking with Christ as long as some of you. Some of them have been just trying it out. Maybe God is going to invite you to get in the boat with them. To not only just reach out and touch them and say, hey, welcome. You don't look like us. You don't talk like us. You don't dress like us. Maybe we reach out and touch them, but maybe he will call you to even a bigger action, to climb into the boat with them. And then, of course, we know the miracle that happened. The wind died down, and the sea was calm. And sometimes somebody just getting in the boat with us, it gets better. And no, you're not Jesus, but you're called to be an imitator of him. You're called to be his representation. And since he ascended into heaven, he left his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to lead us to touch people, to lead us to be people of action, not just words, to study Jesus in his words, but also to imitate his action, to be, some people call it his ministry of presence. What is Haviland Friends Church? I have, you know, people who are still a little confused about why I would move here. And some of you have that same conversation with folks. God calls you here. But one of the reasons I think he calls us here and leaves us here is because he has plans for us to be ministers for him and to be ministers of his presence, to reach into people's lives that maybe people have walked by for many years. And there are folks in this town, even though we have a good percentage of Haviland people that come here, and that's a great blessing, but there are folks in this town who won't come because you invite them, who won't come because you live a great lifestyle, who may never come. But one of the ways they may experience the living presence of Christ is if you reach out your hand and say, I'm willing to get involved. And maybe as they grab your hand, you might feel God saying and leading you even more, get in the boat. Get in their boat. And some of you are going, no. Listen, you fuzzy-haired little pastor, no. Don't do that. Because when you do, you clog the mechanism of how God is going to bless you and use our church, and you're going to be unhappy, you're going to be crabby, you're going to be not much fun to be around. And some of you know already who God's asking you to get in that boat with, and you've been putting it off. We are men of action. Lies do not become us. Christian friends, Haviland Friends Church, God is calling us to be people of action. Stalling does not become us. Putting it off does not become us. You can be a person of mercy and compassion and grace, and it might just mean taking a walk. It might just mean reaching out and taking someone's hand. It might be as simple as going fishing or golfing. It might be joining the puzzle group. It could be something a little scary. For some of us, a lot scary. Will you be a person who imitates Jesus Christ with me? Let's pray. God, today I thank you so very much for your scripture. I thank you that in the Gospel of Mark, there's glimpses and accounts of Jesus' actions while he was here on this earth. God, we are so very thankful that you inspired the New Testament writers to write down words. But God, I'm also thankful today that you chose to inspire them to remember some of his actions. God, today may we be a church who thinks a little bit more about how we can reach out to people. how we can extend our hand, how we can touch some people that maybe others don't want to touch, that we can impact their lives with the love, the incredible, compassionate, overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. And God, also today, may we be willing and open to listen to your Spirit when you say, leave the shore, go on a walk, get in a boat. Thank you again, Jesus, for teaching us today. Thank you for your Spirit who will lead us this week. Bless these folks with your presence throughout this week that they could sense you and feel you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been a good bunch today. I'm very proud of you. Hug some people, smile at some folks, shake some hands.